And there's a footnote here. This is a very extensive purport by Prabhupada. And even in the word for words, Prabhupada goes quite extensively to explain each word in the word for word, which is generally unusual. It's a very deep verse here. So in the footnote, Prabhupada says, the Lord vows, yada yada hi dharmascha glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmascha tadatmanam sujamyaham. Bhagavad Gita 4:7. And he says, to honor this vow, the Lord appeared. So, the very opening words from the Devas is Satyabratam, the personality of Godhead, who never deviates from his vow. And then another footnote, Prabhupada says, the Lord enters into everything, even the atom. Andantarastak paramanu chayantarastang. That's in the Brahma Samhita 5:54. The Prabhupada says, therefore he is called Antaryami, the inner force. Antaryami, the inner force. Translation. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly, give us protection. That's quite a verse. And that's just the verse. The purport is quite long as well. So there's a lot of mention of truth in this verse. Satyam, satya, satyasya. Particularly, every other word is truth. So, the demigods are established in truth, as opposed to the demons, who are established in deviousness and hypocrisy and so many qualities which ignore the Supreme Lord. So, considering this is the opening words of the Devas to Lord Krishna in the womb, he's not even taken his birth yet. The Lord's in the womb, and it's explained that the Devas appear within the prison cell of Kamsa. They appear, and yet they're indivisible. That appears to be a contradiction. Someone appears, but you can't see them. So the Devas have that potency. They can be somewhere, and they can't be seen. Just like we've heard how in the Conway Hall, and many years ago when Srila Prabhupada was giving talk, there were very few people came, and devotees were apologetic afterwards. Prabhupada, I'm sorry, no, very few people came in the big Conway Hall. We've all been to Conway Hall, I'm sure, for various programs. And Prabhupada said, oh, you did not see Narada Muni? So Narada Muni appeared, but the likes of you and I couldn't see him. We don't have the vision. So the demigods have appeared, and this is their opening prayer. So let's read Srila Prabhupada's purport. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4.5 pages. So please be patient, please be attentive. We may pause now and again just to make a comment, but if we start commenting, we're not going to get through the purport. So we've got to get cracking on. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The demigods or devotees know perfectly well that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true substance, whether within this material world or in the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam begins, therefore, with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Satyam Param Dhimahi. That's the opening, the very first very first verse from the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's just given the opening and final lines. You've missed out the middle. Vasudeva, Krishna, is the Param Satyam, the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth can be approached or understood by the Supreme Method, as declared by the Supreme Truth. Bhaktya mam bijananti yavanyas chasmitat pataha. Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Bhakti, or devotional service, is the only way to understand the Absolute Truth. For protection, therefore, the demigods surrender to the Supreme Truth, not to the relative truth. There are persons who worship various demigods, but the Supreme Truth, Krishna, declares in Bhagavad Gita 7:23, Antavatto palangtesham yadbhavachalpamedasam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. So why is their fruits, why are their fruits limited and temporary? On the topic of truth. Keep it on the topic of truth. Why is the fruit limited and temporary? Material, yeah. How does that relate to truth? We're talking about, especially about truth here. Because it's relative truth. The demigods are relative truths. They're here for a while, but they're not eternal. So anything they give is going to be relative and temporary. So people who want bits and pieces from the demigods, it's all very temporary. Worship of the demigods may be useful for a limited time, but the result is antavat, perishable. The material world is impermanent. The demigods are impermanent. The benedictions derived from the demigods are also impermanent. Whereas the living entity is eternal. Nityo nityanam techanas chetananam. Every living entity, therefore, must search for eternal happiness, not temporary happiness. The words satchang parang dimahi indicate that one should search for the absolute truth, not the relative truth. Satchang parang dimahi. Satchang parang, the absolute truth. Dimahi, we take shelter of that absolute truth. While offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrsimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj said, Balaschaneha sharanang pat. I got the meter right. Balaschaneha sharanam pitara nashingha, Narataschya chad kadam udan vati majo nahu. Generally, it is understood that the protectors for a child are his parents. But this is not actually the fact. The real protector is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taptaschatat pratibidirya ihanjaseshtas tavad vibhutano bratam tvad upekshitanam. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam 7:9:19. That's also in the chapter to do with Prahlad Maharaj and Nrsimhadev. Prabhupada says in the purport, if neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a child, despite the presence of his parents, will suffer. A diseased person, despite all medical help, will die. In this material world, where there is a struggle for existence, men have invented many means for protection, but these are useless if the Supreme Personality of Godhead rejects them. Therefore, the demigods purposefully say, so they're very serious about this, purposefully say, Satyamakam tvam sharanam prapana. Real protection can be obtained from you, O Lord, and therefore we surrender unto you. The Lord demands that one surrender unto him. Sarvadharman parityajang mam ekam sharanam braja. And he further says, Sakrideva prapano yastas tavas miti yachchate abhayang sarvadatasmai Tadam yetad patang mama. If one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, My Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you. I always give him protection. That is my vow. And that's from the Ramayana, Yudhakanda 18:33. If one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, My Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I always give him my protection. That is my vow. The demigods offered their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had now appeared in the womb of his devotee, Devaki, to protect all the devotees harassed by Kamsa and his lieutenants. Thus, the Lord acts as Satyavrata. The protection given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to the protection given by the demigods. It is said that Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. But when Lord Ramachandra went to kill him, Lord Shiva could not give him protection. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva accompanied great sages like Narada and followed by many other demigods had now invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. It strikes me as ironic. There's this greatest demon who wants to kill the Supreme Lord and yet the devas have appeared in his house. Of course, that's because Krishna's appeared. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada and followed by many other demigods, had now invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. They began to pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select prayers, which are very pleasing to the devotees and which award fulfillment of devotional desires. The first words they spoke acclaimed that the Lord is true to his vow. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends upon this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord had taken up his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill this vow. They were very glad that the Lord was appearing to fulfill his mission, and they addressed him as Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. So we'll just pause there, make a few comments. So, as we said, this is the opening prayer offered by the devas. Not just the devas, the topmost managers, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the origins of our parampara, Lord Brahma, and Narada Muni is there with the sages, all the different devas are coming to offer their prayers. So this is no supplication for some material benediction. They're coming to glorify the Lord and ask him for protection. And just like, for example, if some important person comes to your house or comes to the temple, you offer him sweet words, a cup of water, a seat to sit. You don't dismiss that person. You offer them the very best you can offer. Yeah. When we go to people's houses to speak sometimes, many of us have been on different programs. We're offered a nice seat and there's always nice prasadam. And of course the host expects the devotee to speak nicely about the Lord, devotional service, the Krishna consciousness. So something is being expected, but in return there's some praise, but praise is the wrong word because we can be flattered by praise. But certainly one's activities may be praiseworthy. Whereas the Lord, because the Lord is, everything about the Lord is praiseworthy, everything about the Lord is truthful. His activities are truthful, his vows are truthful, his eternal realm is truthful, his form is everything about the Lord is truthful, and it's eternal. The point being made here is that there are relative truths, and there is eternal truth. And part of the reason why the demigods are appearing is to affirm that the personality appearing here is the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Truth. He's not a partial incarnation. He's not another jiva who's taking birth. He's actually the Supreme Lord. And their insight isn't some repetitive thing that they've learned. This is realization. Their prayers are realized. When I offer prayers, it's not realized. My Bhagavatam class, how much realization? All I can do is try to repeat Srila Prabhupada's words and share whatever insights I have about this verse or purport. For someone who's more advanced, they can actually share their realizations. We have some realization. But the topics now, especially in the 10th canto, there you've got to be on a, not just an advanced devotee. One has to be realized. But still, the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, has made this very deep topic, this very confidential topic, accessible to one and all by his purports. Even more so, Srila Prabhupada made the entire 10th canto accessible to everyone via the Krishna book. And that was distributed on the street. The absolute truth on the street. The 10th canto, which one should actually work towards through all the previous 9 cantos, is now presented in a form that even the general public can read about the personality of Godhead. Because skillfully woven with the translations, Prabhupada weaves in his commentaries in the Krishna book. And you can't separate the translation from the purport. Just like the commentaries by the acharyas, they're inseparable from the verses. Because we don't have access to the verses, except through the eyes of the pure devotee. Prabhupada says we cannot taste with this tongue, we cannot hear with these ears, and we cannot see with these eyes. You and I, we have to wear glasses. It has to correct our vision. And as we get older, we're tempted to get a hearing aid, because we can't actually hear properly. And that's just mundane sound. So in that conditioned state, we've been deaf and blind and dumb for billions of lifetimes. So when the absolute truth is presented in the form of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to approach it through the vision and guidance of the pure devotee. Otherwise, we'll misconstrue it. We won't understand it, which many do. Prabhupada comments, he says, there's so many editions of Bhagavad Gita, and someone adds another layer of ignorance. They're adding their own ignorance to the Bhagavad Gita. In other words, they're using Bhagavad Gita as a platform for their own self-aggrandizement. So we have to be very careful in devotional service that what we are doing, we're not using as a platform for our own self-aggrandizement. Whether it's Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, a class or speaking or during kirtan, here I am. Don't I sing nicely? We have to focus, it's a service. So giving classes is a service, chanting the holy name is a service. Of course, this may be there to some degree in our neophyte stage. There's some self-interest. But the demigods here are acknowledging that their real self-interest and the self-interest of the universe is actually to this essential quality is truthfulness. And as we'll go on and expound on this a little bit, doesn't time fly? Truthfulness is the essence of religiosity. The essence of religion is truthfulness. If there's no truthfulness, if that's missing, there's no question of spiritual progress. It's in the verse, right there in the verse. The demigods themselves say, and indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. Hypocrites, someone saying one thing and doing another, pretending to be something that they're not. So, in a sense, it's axiomatic. It's obvious. If one isn't truthful, how can one approach the absolute truth? How can you? Truthful means full of truth. That's what it means. Truthful. There's no room for something which isn't true. So we have to be truthful. And if we're truthful, then we have the key to the beginning to actually approach the absolute truth. Absolute truth. And the world is so many relative truths. We're surrounded by relative truths. But here is the absolute truth. everything. This is a relative truth. It's here. We're all here. Right now, it's true. But in half an hour from now, it won't be true. It was true. It wasn't true. Now it is true. And then it won't be true. That's relative truth. And that relative truth may be an entire cosmic manifestation. It wasn't. And now it is. And it appears to go on and on and on and on for whole kalpas, a whole lifetime of Brahma. And then after that period, it isn't anymore. Just one day of Brahma just goes on and on and on and on and on from our perspective. Still, it's a relative truth. Let us offer our obeisances to the absolute truth. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Smadhu Swami. We shouldn't be lazy about offering our obeisances to the absolute truth. One time, devotees approaching Prabhupada in his room, they'd do a quick, like that. Prabhupada used to say, "What is this hatchet?" You know what a hatchet is? It's an axe. It's chopping. Use it for chopping. Chopping wood. Right? So this, like that. "What is this hatchet?" So devotees, we have to offer our obeisances. So when the deities close and open, we should offer our obeisances. Why are we here? To serve the absolute truth. He's sitting there on the altar. When we take prasadam, is it food or is it prasadam? Food. Prasadam, offer obeisances before you start and when you finish. Kirtan, the end of kirtan, you offer obeisances. It isn't a ritual. It's to actually supplicate oneself, begging for the Lord's mercy. It's an acknowledgement of the sanctity of this prasadam, of this kirtan, of this deity. It's an acknowledgement of sanctity. And if we're not offering our obeisances, we're taking it very lightly. It may be troublesome, but what's 30 seconds of being troublesome if you're going to get the blessings of the Lord? Otherwise, we can develop arrogance. So pardon me for being truthful, but truthfulness means to say something which might not be always welcome. This isn't to criticize, this is just to try to nurture that tendency we see. We get lazy. We think obeisances, we can take it or leave it. No. No. You leave it, you'll get left. Do we want to get left behind? No. No. We need to remember obeisances are there for a purpose. It's not a ritual. So kirtan and prasadam and the entering the temple and the closing and opening of the curtains, obeisances. So let's continue. Prabhupada says, everyone is searching after truth. That is the philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the supreme absolute truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can attain the absolute truth. Krishna is the absolute truth. Relative truth is not truth in all the three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time in the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when this creation is finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. Come on, let's hear it loud.
Krishna.
Let's hear it louder.
Krishna.
And where's Krishna? Where is he?
Everywhere.
He's everywhere. And he's on the altar. Yes. And where else is he?
Everything.
In everything. And where else is he? Right. So how can we forget Krishna? Why is it we forget Krishna if he's everywhere? Because we think, I'm number one. I don't need to offer my obeisances because actually I'm number one. And you should be offering obeisances to me. And eventually maybe you'll realize it. That's what the demons think. Obeisances to me. If there's any strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is? If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is? Therefore, is the source of all relative truths. Devotees, therefore, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, pray, Govinda Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, worshipping the Adipurush, the supreme truth, Govinda. Everything, everywhere, is performed in terms of three principles, Jnana Balakriya, knowledge, strength, and activity. In every field, if there is not full knowledge, full strength, and full activity, an endeavor is never successful. Therefore, if one wants success in everything, one must be backed by these principles, knowledge, strength, and full activity. In the Vedas, Svetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, there is a statement about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Natasyakaryam karanam cha vidyate natatsamashchabdabdikashcha drishyate parasya shaktir bibidaiva shruyate svabhaivika jnana bala kriyacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to do anything personally, for he has such potencies that anything he wants done will be done perfectly well through the control of material nature. Svabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Similarly, those who are engaged in the service of the Lord are not meant to struggle for existence. The devotees who are not meant to struggle for existence, not that there's no struggle involved, but not meant to struggle for existence, because devotees are struggling for something else. What are devotees struggling for? Self-realization. They're struggling to serve the Lord, struggling to preach the glories of the Lord, but to existence itself, Krishna looks after that. The devotees who are fully engaged in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada says, more than 10,000 men and women all over the world. It's a lot more now. This was written in the 70s. So there's more than 10,000 now. All over the world have no steady or permanent occupation. Yet we actually see that they are maintained very opulently. So these were the years before wages. And yet still, the opulence was there. It was pointed out, maybe a year or so ago, who was mentioning it? I forget. The irony was, it was an ironic statement, probably saying how the devotees are maintained opulently. So back in the old days, I'm an old timer, so we do say things like that. Whenever the cooking was going on, we cooked in ghee. We were so poor. We were poor as church mice. But we always cooked in ghee. We used to get the butter and make it into ghee in the kitchen. So the deities would eat opulently, everything cooked in ghee, and devotees would also, everything cooked in ghee. And now there's money coming out everywhere, but you don't cook in ghee. So this is a kind of ironic. There's a lot more money now, and we're cooking in oil. Whereas when there was no money, cooked in ghee. So what's happened? You tell me. I don't know what's happened. So Krishna looks after his devotees. Very struggling hard to maintain and to preach. And one way or another, by the mercy of the devotees, who wanted to serve the devotees, serving the Lord, always made sure ghee. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananyaschintayanto mang yejna paryupashate tesham nitya bihuktanang yogakshemang vibha bahamyaham. For those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry to them what they lack and preserve what they have. The devotees have no anxiety, Prabhupada says, the devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next. So if you're in anxiety over what will happen next, does that mean I'm not a devotee? I don't know. Some circumstances, we get a bit anxious sometimes. I remember one time, we just went to Cardiff to open a temple in Cardiff. This is early 70s. It just didn't work out. It was, we were collecting on the street. No one was really interested. We had rented a little room, myself and another devotee. Yadavendu was living there at the time and he wanted association. So we went to try and open a temple. And I remember feeling despondency coming back after we left Cardiff. Then we're going to go to Bristol, try and start something there. And I remember on the bus feeling so despondent. Oh, we failed. Just this feeling of utter hopelessness. And then I think maybe Yadavendu said, don't worry, it's Krishna will look after everything. And suddenly the whole atmosphere just lifted. Oh yeah, Krishna's going to look after it. And we had a center in Bristol for a while. So Krishna does look after things. Sometimes things don't always go according to what I want. But if and what I'm wanting is in the service of the Lord and it doesn't work out, then sometimes. And that's Prabhupada also, down in India one time. Srila Prabhupada stayed in one place for a week or so. And Tamakrishna was with him at the time. And Tamakrishna was saying, well, Prabhupada, we can go and preach here and preach there. Prabhupada said, no, we'll just wait here, see what Krishna wants. And after a week, okay, now time to go. Prabhupada didn't intuit that Krishna wanted anything there. Nothing happened. But Prabhupada was waiting for Krishna to give some sign, either internally or externally, do something here. Didn't happen. Okay, we'll move on. Same with preaching. Prabhupada said, if you're not wanted, then don't preach there. Go somewhere else. In other words, go where you wanted. Of course, sometimes we go where we're not wanted, waiting for that person to come who does want us. But it's just a yardstick. Sometimes a town or even a country, very, very dangerous or difficult. We can better use our energy elsewhere. The devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next, where they will stay or what they will eat. For everything is maintained and supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised, Kauntaya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. So just consider Srila Prabhupada's position when he headed west with this in mind. The devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next. I was having a heart attack on the boat. No anxiety about what will happen next. He arrives in New York. He's got one sponsor. Prabhupada's living a hand-to-mouth existence, living on the Bowery. He has no anxiety what's going to happen next. And look what happened next. When Prabhupada had full faith in Krishna and the orders of his spiritual master, look what happened next. And next and next and next and next and next. He had full faith that Krishna would look after him. No anxiety what will happen next, where they will stay, or what they will eat. For everything is maintained and supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From all angles of vision, therefore, in all circumstances, if one fully surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of one struggling for existence. In this connection, the commentary of Srimad Madhavacharya, who quotes from the Tantra Bhagavat, is very meaningful. Such chadba uttamang bhruyad anandantiti vaivadet yeti jnanam samudrishtang purnananda rishishtata atrachvat chattadadanat satyatya chochate vibhu. explaining the word satyasyanyonim, that's in the Bhagavatam verse, Prabhupada says, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the avatari, the origin of all incarnations. All incarnations are the absolute truth. Yet, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the origin of all incarnations. Deepachirevahi dashantaram abhyupecha deepayate. Brahma Samhita 5:46. There may be many lamps or candles, all equal in power. Yet there is a first lamp, a second lamp, a third lamp, and so on. Similarly, there are many incarnations who are compared to lamps. But the first lamp, the original personality of Godhead, is Krishna. Govinda Madhipurusham Tangaham Bhajami. The demigods must offer worship in obedience to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one might argue that since the Supreme Godhead was within the womb of Devaki, he was also coming in a material body. Why then should he be worshipped? Why should one make a distinction between an ordinary living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Big question. And Prabhupada closes the purport by saying these questions are answered in the following verses. So that's the end of the purport, and it's also the end of our allotted time. I made a few notes in this, but we don't have time to really look at them. But we've got a couple of minutes to answer any questions, if anyone's got any questions.